You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, How to Turn Your Independent Film into a Money-Making Business by Alex Ferrari. For a free copy of the audiobook, head over to www.filmbizbook.com.
Welcome to the Director Series Podcast, a show dedicated to deconstructing the work of some of cinema's most celebrated and influential film directors. I'm your host, Cameron Bile. The series of creative collaborations between Tarantino and Rodriguez reached their apex in 2007 with the release of Grindhouse, a twin-barreled love letter to a bygone era from their youth, where cheesy genre and exploitation films were shown on double bills in cheap arthouse theaters. As the megaplex and the blockbuster rose to prominence in tandem, so too did the double feature and the grindhouse tradition fall by the wayside. Tarantino and Rodriguez both cite this movement of cinema as profoundly influential on their respective careers, and they would feel it a moral imperative to keep their beloved grindhouse traditions alive. Grindhouse, then, would be their ultimate collaboration. Two pulpy exploitation features strung together into an emulation of an extinct experience. Rodriguez's contribution would be a sci-fi zombie film titled Planet Terror, while Tarantino paid tribute to the shrinking stunt industry with his vehicular homicide slasher Death Proof. They even went so far as to include fake trailers for other non-existent films, shot by like-minded protégés like Eli Roth or kindred creative spirits like Rob Zombie. Working out of Rodriguez's Texas-based Troublemaker Studios, the two men feverishly constructed this passion project of theirs, eventually releasing the final four-hour film to cinemas in the spring of 2007. The reward for all that hard work and passion? Widespread disappointment and failure.
Well, Pam, which way are you going?
Left or right?
Right.
We're both going left. Since you're going the other way, I'm afraid you're gonna have to start getting scared immediately.
Of the two, Tarantino's entry is the better film on almost every level, and while it could be counted as the director's first high-profile failure, it is also something of a triumph on many levels. The most gonzo batshit slasher John Carpenter never made, Death Proof concerns the exploits of a salty stuntman slash serial killer named, what else, Stuntman Mike. Played with an eager, sociopathic glee by Kurt Russell, Stuntman Mike drives around in a jet-black hot rod modified so as to sustain the driver's life in the event of a horrible collision. Initially designed to allow stuntmen to walk away without a scratch after performing their daredevil feats, Stuntman Mike now uses this life-saving feature to, perversely, end lives. With the general gist of this admittedly simplistic story now constructed, Tarantino naturally complicates the structure of his narrative by dividing it into two distinct acts. In the first, a group of girls are en route to a lakeside cabin vacation, led by an outspoken radio host named Jungle Julia, played by Sydney Tamia Poitier, daughter of screen legend Sydney Poitier. The girls stop off at a local Austin dive bar for some drinks, where they haplessly waltz onto Stuntman Mike's homicidal radar. In the second half, Stuntman Mike has relocated to rural Tennessee, where he stalks a group of young actresses in town for a film shoot, only to find that they're just crazy enough to play his own game against him. Further compounding Tarantino's complication of narrative is the fact that Death Proof exists in two versions, the theatrical version paired with Planet Terror as part of the initial Grindhouse release, and a longer, two-hour director's cut that screened on its own at Cannes, as well as European theaters. Whether it is superior to the theatrical Grindhouse version is debatable. Its longer runtime tends to feel bloated thanks to extended dialogue scenes that actually work against the style Tarantino is trying to emulate. Thankfully, the cast's gung-ho performances more than make up for any narrative drift. Kurt Russell is perfect as the deceptively disarming stuntman Mike, revitalizing his career a la John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, while carving out his own distinct space in Tarantino's repertory of recurring performers. Russell's psychopathic cowboy affectations are captivating, making for a fully realized movie monster without the need for any humanizing backstory. Poitier's Jungle Julia is a Tarantino creation through and through, with a firm command of obscure pop culture to match her intimidating verbosity. Vanessa Ferlito plays the first half's presumptive protagonist, Roxana, a no-nonsense Brooklynite who is cajoled into giving Stuntman Mike a lap dance in one of Death Proof's centerpiece sequences. Rose McGowan, who headlined Rodriguez's Planet Terror, appears in a small role as Pam, a bubbly platinum blonde who finds herself the unwitting occupant of Stuntman Mike's deadly passenger seat. fellow director Eli Roth, whose breakout film Hostel was produced by Tarantino, plays Dov, an aggressive frat dude hell-bent on getting laid. Omar Doom plays Dov's Jersey Shore-style buddy, who prefers whininess as his go-to pickup strategy. Tarantino himself appears as Warren, the dive bar owner who's maybe just a little bit too old to be partying alongside his young customers. Like his performance in 1995's Four Rooms, he mentions a particular drink being a tasty beverage.
Is that a tasty beverage, or is that a tasty beverage?
Yet another reference to the endlessly quotable lines he's concocted for his fictional characters throughout his work. The second half is comprised of an even livelier cast than the first. Of all his creations, the group of girls is arguably the most archetypically Tarantino-esque. They all work in various positions in the film industry, whether in front of the camera as actresses and stunt women, or behind the scenes in the makeup department. Naturally, they're all incredibly well-versed in pop culture, and can act as Tarantino's mouthpieces through which to reference obscure cult films. Rosario Dawson plays Abernathy, the sassy yet sensible ringleader of the group. Mary Elizabeth Winstead plays Lee, a dainty feminine actress in a cheerleader outfit. Tracy Toms is not unlike a female Samuel L. Jackson in her performance as feisty stunt driver Kim. And finally, Kiwi revelation Zoe Bell, who served as Uma Thurman's stuntwoman in the Kill Bill saga, plays what is essentially a fictionalized version of herself, possessed of an unmitigated, infectious hunger for adrenaline. Because he's working away from his home base in California and setting up shop in Rodriguez's Texas studios, Tarantino doesn't have the luxury of working with most of his regular collaborators this time around. Sure, he's got editor Sally Menke in his corner, but he's firmly in Rodriguez's territory. For the first time in his career, Tarantino takes a stab at being his own director of photography, which works out pretty damn well considering the film is supposed to look junky and battered. Framed in CinemaScope, Tarantino cultivates a look that reads like the cheapest film stock around. The colors are burnt out, with a notable magenta cast that suggests the chroma fading that comes from storing film in improper conditions. The image is littered with scratches and frame drops that give the appearance of a film that's been beaten up and dragged across rough terrain, which is exactly what Tarantino and company physically did to achieve this look. No digital trickery here. Menke effectively emulates an amateur hack job, complete with dropped frames, jumpy edits, mistimed in-and-out points, and repeated takes. Strangely enough, both Menke and Tarantino are fully committed to the stylistic conceit during the first half, only to all but abandon it for a cleaner, clearer approach in the second half. Where Death Proof is the most consistent with Tarantino's earlier work is in his compositions and lighting. When shooting close-ups, for instance, he tends to show his characters in profile instead of the standard over-the-shoulder angle of coverage. In the first half's dive bar sequences, he uses low-key, expressionistic lighting and copious amounts of neon to create a lurid, foreboding look evocative of the surrounding Texan desert. In the beginning of the second half, Tarantino chooses to show the convenience store sequence almost entirely in black and white, like he did for the House of Blue Leaves massacre in Kill Bill Volume 1. Why he does this, however, is a bit of a mystery. It seems purely to be a stylistic indulgence on Tarantino's part, as it doesn't call attention to itself as a grindhouse-specific homage, unless maybe he's trying to convey the idea of a black-and-white work print that sloppily made it into the final cut, or had to be used because the original camera negative for the scene was somehow misplaced. Tarantino's camera work is expectedly confident, solid, and unencumbered, always moving with deliberate purpose. He uses tracking shots and circular dolly shots to modest effect, which is appropriate considering the grindhouse films he is evoking weren't necessarily known for their virtuoso camera work. His restraint pays off when the film abruptly changes gears and becomes a breathless, extended car chase. The undeniable highlight of the film, this sequence contains some of the most imaginative chase coverage put to film, thanks to Tarantino's newly developed eye for action. When a list of Tarantino's best-directed moments are eventually compiled, the driving sequences of Death Proof will easily rank within the top five, if not higher. Tarantino's eclectic mix of pre-recorded music for Death Proof stands out as one of the more inspired amongst his entire filmography. He's compiled a truly eclectic mix of southern rock, soul, surf rock, and other sounds that bolster and complement the grindhouse aesthetic. The two most notable tracks are the coaster's Bordertown Booty Shaker Down in Mexico, as well as a hyper, slasher-movie-appropriate theme song by April March called Chick Habit. Once again, Tarantino rescues a handful of excellent songs from obscurity and pairs them with the visuals in such a way that one can never be disassociated from the other ever again. Just try listening to Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick, and Tix Hold Tight again without thinking of a dismembered leg flopping onto the highway. Tarantino has gone on record stating that he personally believes Death Proof to be his worst film. This may be because it is by far his most indulgent film, where all his signature techniques and tropes are cranked up to 11. What can you expect from a film directed by a noted foot fetishist when the opening credits play against a woman's foot in close-up? The extreme gore, the vintage yellow title font, seemingly interminable sequences of clever combinations of profanity, the trunk shot, this time from the hood's POV, Kurt Russell breaking the fourth wall by smirking directly at the audience, all the Tarantino tropes are here in some form. By now, the components of Tarantino's self-contained universe are well established amongst his followers, so he treats Death Proof as one big in-joke.
You got a billboard by Big Kahuna Burger, don't you? Yeah.
Characters mention Big Kahuna Burger. Order Red Apple cigarettes, both Tarantino-created brands. One character has as her cell phone ringtone the Twisted Nerve song that Daryl Hannah whistles in Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yellow.
The action of the second half takes place near his birthplace in Tennessee, and a well-hidden nod to the fake trailer he directed for the project, Eli Roth toasts to Thanksgiving before pounding a shot of Wild Turkey. Tarantino fans will undoubtedly enjoy discovering each hidden reference, but for the casual viewer, this all might fly right over their heads. Death Proof may be the most overlooked of Tarantino's features, but it is still a recklessly entertaining ride. Its vintage charms make for one of the most bracingly original films in years, despite the fact that it's essentially a pastiche of exploitation film conventions. Death Proof marks a stylistic saturation point, the end of what one could call Tarantino's Tex-Mex phase, and his last collaboration so far with Robert Rodriguez. For a lot of directors, creating an overly indulgent film can have career-wrecking consequences, but by getting it all out of his system in Death Proof, Tarantino is able to clear the way for new ideas and concepts, projects more expansive and ambitious than he's ever tackled before, and the production of which would evidence his maturation into the pantheon of great directors. The Director Series is made possible by the support of our subscribers on Special. Subscribe today at special.tv/The Director Series and gain access to exclusive full-length Director Series episodes and other bonus content, ad-free.